Hear these words from the beginning of the scriptures. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and he called the darkness night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And from the beginning of the Gospel of John. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip and Nathanael said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophet wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe me because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." May these words be blessed to our hearts and lives. Amen.
The last time I preached on this passage from John, I realized I told, one of my favorite stories, a wonderful story, so I just have to recycle it, so bear with me. There were these two robins sitting up in a tree, and first robin said, "You know, I'm really hungry," and the second robin said, "Yeah, I am too. Well, let's go find something to eat." So they fly down to the field. It's a freshly plowed field. There's all sorts of worms around, and they eat and they eat and they eat until they're full. And they look at each other, and one robin says, "You know, I'm so full, I don't think I can fly back up into the tree." And the other one says, "Yeah, me too. Why don't we just sit here and bask in the sun, and we'll take it easy, and we'll take a nap." And so that's what they do. They lay down out in the sun, and they take a nap. While they're taking this nap, a big old cat comes up by them and sneaks up on them and gobbles them up. And as he's sort of relaxing now and full and content, he said, "I just love Baskin Robbins." I also realized that there would be a couple of generations who had no idea why that's funny. You know that? Okay. All right, enough. I got that out of my system. But keep that in mind, though, about Baskin after eating all of that food. Now, I want to talk about fig trees. Because, you see, the gospel lesson talks about Nathanael sitting under a fig tree. Paul Flessner writes this. He says, "A fig tree is about, the one he's looking at is about 15 feet tall, and it branches out about 25 feet in width like an umbrella, creating a space that is almost like a private room." I was curious, so I went and Googled this, and yeah, it's really cool. These are wide and tall and lots of space and lots of shade. Now, if someone wanted to get away from the chaos of a one-room house, he or she would sit under this fig tree, or they would sit and read scripture or reflect or pray. You see, sitting under a fig tree was a sign of seeking and praying for God's living presence. Now, I realize, he goes on to write, that this church does not look anything like a fig tree. But isn't that why we're here? We have come together here with the yearning to know the touch of the living God. We come to retreat, from the chaos of the world around us, so we can read scripture and reflect and pray. I hope you will see that despite his relative anonymity, we do have much in common with Nathanael. So Jesus, we need to look at this passage now. Jesus has just been baptized a couple days before. John the Baptist continues to declare to his disciples that Jesus is the anointed one. And two of John's disciples decide to follow Jesus. Well, the next day, one of those two, who is Andrew, who then called his brother, who is brother to Simon, and said, "Come and see, Simon, come and see this Jesus." Well, Simon does. And then later on, the next day, Jesus meets meets Philip. And he calls Philip and says, "Philip, follow me." And Philip gets so excited, as I told the children, that he runs and tells his friend Nathanael. And Nathanael says, whatever good can come out of Nazareth. He was very skeptical. He didn't like anybody from Nazareth. He couldn't figure out what's so great about this Jesus, but he goes anyway because Philip asked him. And so Nathanael and Jesus, had this conversation, and Jesus tells him about Nathanael, about himself, and Nathanael is so impressed that skepticism goes away, and he follows Jesus as well. The simple statement of "come and see" and or "follow me" seems to inspire people to follow Jesus. Now, how is that? Okay, now think for a minute. What if we're sitting under a fig tree? What would we find there? We might find sanctuary. We might even find the presence of God. We might be regenerated or inspired. Or we might become complacent and nostalgic and apathetic. We might think, what a great place to be, a place to be away from the chaos of life and the dangers of life and the grief of life. So what happens when we're called out from under the fig tree like Nathanael? What do we do when we're called? When God taps us on the shoulder and says, "Come and see." When God extends an invitation to come and see great things, when God seeks us out to do great things, or even small things, how do we respond? Through another member of the church, God calls us by name. Now, does that sound familiar? Like in today's lesson, Andrew calls Peter, Jesus calls Philip, Philip calls Nathanael. Through that person, we are called by God. Called to do what? Well, whatever. But for the church to grow, to become healthy, there must be a come and see attitude. And for that come and see attitude, there needs to be clarity of vision. Paul Dodd writes, "There was a wonderful article in Thursday's Austin American Statesman paper about Tiger Woods." Everybody know Tiger Woods? Yeah? Okay. Well, he had won 8 golf tournaments last year. And now, at 24 years old, he just won his 5th consecutive victory on the PGA Tour. He recently had laser surgery on his eyes, so he no longer wears contact lenses, and he can see the ball better. Now, can you imagine how demoralizing that was for the other golfers. Some said, oh, well, now he can actually see what he's doing. Well, the gospel reading this morning is about sight and clarity of sight. The calling of Nathanael is one of the better known stories in Scripture. There are these Kodak memories here. Nathanael squinting to see anything good coming out of Nazareth. Philip's invitation to come and see opens his eyes, opens Nathanael's eyes and his thoughts. Philip's invitation to come see brings clarity of vision to Nathanael. Jesus, looking, contemplating, watching Nathanael sitting under a fig tree, the promise that he would see greater things than these, and it is all about sight and insight, about clarity and vision. Do we feed on what God has for us? Are we gobbled up by our complacency and abundance? Does our skepticism and cynicism overpower our curiosity and faithful inquiry so we cannot be moved to come out from under the fig tree? Or can we be like Andrew, like Philip, and extend the invitation? Come and see. Not just what this church might do, but come and see what Jesus has in store for you and for us and for our life as believers. Come and see what God has to offer in God's Son, Jesus. Amen.